I do think that the benefit of the election cycles and elections are as much the raising of issues as they are who we elect. The people who are elected do listen, and they listen mostly during election season. I've taken great pleasure in saying something at one forum and then hearing another candidate co-opt it either on an advertisement or in their own platform at the next forum.
Like, what's an example of that?
I think the property rights issue is probably one that had most impact. I rent property, and we have a definition of family in East Baton Rouge in the zoning code, which essentially prohibits three people from living together in Baton Rouge that are unrelated. And I rent a lot to students, but not just to students. I rent to young professionals who Baton Rouge says they want to keep in town. But the young professionals who don't want to live in an apartment complex can't live together in a house, say, in the Garden District or in University Gardens, because it's three unrelated people. I've been targeted by the government, and they've sued four times, actually, on properties like that. I think that's a waste of governmental resources, and I think there's a lot of other things we should be worried about than who people choose to live with, especially when they're not causing any problems.
Now, some people might look at that and say, you know, you're not coming in here as an ideologue with a new philosophy about what the property law's right should be or what maybe should be rolled back, but rather someone who's got a personal axe to grind because mm-hmm. you've been sued over this mm-hmm. thing.
The personal axe to grind, everybody has their own special interests. We're all special interests, okay? Just go read Mayor Holden's campaign finance reports and see who's contributed to his campaign. I mean, essentially, they're people who get contracts from the government, architects, engineers. Now, that may not be a personal axe to grind, but it's certainly a special interest. They have an interest in somebody being in that office who might be friendly to their positions. Well, that's what voters do. They elect people who are friendly to their positions. And I've gotten a lot of encouragement and support for people for private property rights.
When you look at making some changes to the property laws, one of the problems certainly that has come up at some of these forums is the issue of blight. Mm-hmm. So what is the one ordinance that you would either leave on the books or put in place of what's there now to just address that problem more directly?
I watch the council meeting, and every month they have condemnation hearings. I mean, they can condemn a house already if the house needs to be condemned. If they can condemn a house, they pretty much have control over it. If they can't, then the question becomes, well, is it really the government's role to be able to come in and say that we think it's time for you to have a new roof? When you put a new roof on and you put a new coat of paint and you replace the floors and you do all this work, people need to understand that rental property is not all free money. And like in any business, when your expenses outweigh your revenue, it's not a very good situation. And I talk to those landlords, and what they're going to do is that if it becomes a point where it's not affordable to rent the house for $400 because you got $800 a month expenses, they just won't rent it at all. They won't make the repairs, and they'll have another vacant property.
So how do you get that mm-hmm. roof fixed so that the rent becomes mm-hmm. a reasonable economic mm-hmm. proposition?
My personal feeling is that instead of going in with the current philosophy of let's condemn all these property, raise them, knock them all down, then bring in big developers and build big complexes that are going to look pretty for a while and then turn into potentially slums, that we come up with some programs that would allow just the mom and pop to go into a place, buy a house, you know, spend their weekends fixing it up. Now, it may be taking the property tax and have an exemption on that property for 10 years or taking certain expenses and allowing them to deduct those expenses off of property taxes in a property in another area of town. There's a lot of potential ideas out there. So, you know, this is a something that would have to be studied, but I think conceptually it's got possibilities.
Steve Myers, you have been an advocate for limiting government and putting the focus primarily on public safety mm-hmm. and infrastructure. So does that mean that if you were to be writing the budget for East Baton Rouge Parish, that you would be putting more resources into public safety and into infrastructure?
I'll give you a framework of what I believe. We should fund the core mission of local government 100%. The core mission, I think, is, as you point out, infrastructure, public safety. Okay. Once those are under control, any, quote, leftover money can then go to things that I don't consider to be the core mission of government, and that's things like social services and economic development even. I noticed this past week, the Arts and Sciences Museum. I'm not opposed to museums, but if you spend $1 million, $850,000 on the museum, and you've got, you know, issues where people could actually be, lives could be saved or traffic could be moved, well, I don't consider the museum to be the core mission of local government. Maybe the Secretary of State could take that over.
Let's say the Secretary of State's office didn't step in or couldn't step in. Would you still take that $850,000 and move it over to public safety or to infrastructure?
Well, it depends on whether it's needed. Believe me, I'm not going to be coming in there and on day one, you know, issuing a lot of executive orders to cut funding. I'd probably take at least a year to get it straight. One of the things that I would definitely look at is the consolidation of the police, the sheriff, and the constable. There's a lot of redundancy. You got two retirement systems. You got two corporate structures, so to speak, you know, mid-level management. I think that there would probably be duplication of services that we could find and that we could improve.
You are a supporter of the Greenlight program, which has improved or expanded 28 parts of our road system here in East Baton Rouge. And you've also said that you would support the loop concept to divert some traffic around Baton Rouge. But beyond that, you're proposing to first address all of our congestion problems by adding some turn signals, by adding turn lanes, by perhaps creating a park and ride system. How quickly could those solutions, do you think, make a dent in Baton Rouge traffic?
I'd say as quickly as they could do them. If we have a intersection like we have at East Boyd and Burbank, where people take their lives in their hands every day, I was bypassed by a car the other day. Came from three cars behind me, turning left into oncoming traffic because we were now on our fourth light cycle before you could make a left turn. I don't care how much money it costs. We're going to find the money to do those common sense things immediately.
Well, Steve Myers, candidate for mayor president of East Baton Rouge, thank you for joining me and for sharing some of these thoughts about some different ideas for what we could do in Baton Rouge.
Thank you.